out tonight that's being passed around. We are going to go over three different Greek words, and I know when I'm learning something that is so foreign to me as a foreign language and a word, it helps me a lot to look at that word and to look at the written definition. It helps to keep it in my mind. So I thought that might be helpful for you tonight. I did leave a little space. As we study these words are not in a lot of scriptures. So I've kind of listed some of the scriptures I'm going to go over tonight. If you want to take a few notes on those, you certainly can. I left a little room on that handout to do that. We are in Acts, the third chapter. Let me get to my... And we're going to be talking in the 16th verse, especially in the end of this verse where it talks about this perfect soundness. Last week we talked so much about the importance of faith in our daily lives, and we see what an important part that faith played in the healing miracle of this lame man. And we went through several scriptures that taught us that faith is very individual and that it's something that grows as we grow. So we grow in God, and often our faith grows through the adversity that comes into our lives. And tonight we're going to look at perfect soundness, which is mentioned in Acts, the third chapter, again, the 16th verse. So I just want to read that as I begin tonight. Acts 3, starting in verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And when you look into this, these two words, the perfect soundness, if you had a chance to do it this week, when you look under Strong's or in an interlinear, this perfect soundness is actually just one Greek word. And we're going to look at that word tonight, the one that is mentioned here in Acts. And then we're also going to look at the root word, because that gives us a little deeper understanding of this word. And there is another word on your handout, that third word, artios, which fits with all of this together. And as I said at the beginning, these particular words are really not found in many places in the Bible. So we're going to go over the scriptures tonight where they are used. And like everything, by looking at the different scriptures, it should give us a pretty good understanding for us today in our walk with God. Again, before we start looking at this handout and everything, have any of you had a chance to look at this perfect soundness or have any thoughts on it? I know finding time to study is always challenging, but just the words perfect soundness. Any thoughts on those before we go in this tonight, Paul?
Yeah, I looked into it quite a bit, actually. It means complete. I mean, God's ways are perfect. And
amen.
When he heals somebody, it's mind and body. It's not just partly. You know.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys was overjoyed. I mean, he couldn't
amen.
Stand it. To
sure.
be in bondage like that all your life and then to be floating around like a butterfly.
Mm-hmm. And, It was such an instantaneous, miraculous healing this man went through. It was an incredible thing. Anybody else on perfect soundness? I just really like the sound of those words. I want to function in perfect soundness. I kind of want to live in perfect soundness. I kind of want to hang out in perfect soundness because I love the way it sounded. So I just want to read over this handout, and then we're going to kind of go back and look at each one individually. So perfect soundness, as it is in Acts, the third chapter, verse 16, that Greek word, which I will do my best to pronounce it. I've had no Greek, so I have no idea. But holokeleria, which means integrity, physical wholeness, like Paul talked about. Also, it's of an unimpaired condition of the body in which all its members are healthy and fit for use. And it also means good health. And so we certainly see that in this lame man. But if we also, in this, we're going to look at this root word tonight too, which this first word comes out of, so holokeros or whatever. This gives us a little deeper meaning. This is the root word for the word in chapter 3, verse 16. And this root word means complete in every part, perfectly sound, in no part wanting or unsound. It's complete, entire, and whole. It's of a body without blemish or defect. And this bee caught my attention, free from sin, faultless, complete in all respects. And then we'll go through these verses as we get into the study tonight. And this third one I want to look at tonight is artios. And this one is also, but it talks about from the point of being connected and joined together. And it's complete and perfect, but it's also fully adapted for its purpose. It has everything it needs to do what it needs to do. It's fully adapted. So we're going to go back through those one at a time as we kind of pick them apart a little bit. But as we begin with this first one in Acts 3:16, and it does, again, it talks about that integrity. It's a state of being whole. It's unbroken. It's a physical wholeness. That unimpaired condition of the body in which all members are healthy and fit for use. So this lame man was now so miraculously healed. He was definitely, his body was now no longer unimpaired. He was definitely not broken. All the members of his body were healthy and fit for use. He's in good health. He is complete and he is sound. He's complete and he is sound. So before we start looking at the root word, you have any thoughts about these words, how this applies to this lame man? Any thoughts, any thinking about this, how this applies? What a miraculous healing it was. It was so complete. Any thoughts on that? Mark and Kirsten.
I've read this story many times, and it hasn't impressed me as much as it's been impressing me in this study. And one of the things that occurred to me, having seen many, many people with impairment from birth, the limb doesn't grow. Amen. The limb doesn't fill out.
Amen.
The joints become stiff. The distortion of the appearance of the limb is dramatic. So to have a full fit, totally different, I mean, this was a miracle for anybody to see.
Amen.
No matter how skeptical.
Amen.
It was real.
Right. Kirsten?
The part that really got my attention was the soundness, the part Oh, no, sorry.
Thank you.
The soundness is the part that really got my attention, because I think that maybe I've always thought of these healings as, I mean, I knew they were healings and they were complete, but I thought more in terms of the relief of the pain and the suffering.
Amen.
But this is like a step beyond that.
Amen.
Which is, you know, it's like practically being, you know, bionic or something. Every single thing working exactly the way it was supposed to be, which is
Amen.
Not the condition that most of us ever live in, really.
That's right.
And that's what he was given.
That's right.
And that's just, like I said, it's a degree past what I'd ever really considered before.
Mm-hmm. And think how God does stuff. God answers prayers perfectly. He does exactly what he needs, plus more than that. And I thought about this lame man that had been lame since birth would have had a body that didn't have any muscle tone or anything like that. And now he has the ability to leap and praise God and run and jump. Even if you had seen that lame man at the gate and now seen him in this healed state, he's going to look totally different. Even in the physical, he's going to look totally different. Never mind the glow that had to be on this man's face. Mark?
I was just going to add that his brain didn't know how to jump.
His brain didn't know how to jump.
No, it hadn't done so before.
That's right.
So it had no software for that.
Right. Right. So pretty amazing what God did to this man. It is pretty. You got your hand up again, Paul.
Second, I just, part of that Hebrew meaning when I was looking at it was something that functions exactly the way it's supposed to. And I just liken it to the body of Christ, that we all have our little part. And if we're
hold your mic a little closer, Paul.
If we're working perfectly together, that it'll be what God created it to be.
In that unity, you said, Paul, that unity that we function together in, too, is so, so very important. And we see just how completely God answered this prayer of Peter and John's, and how miraculously this man has been healed. And it probably is one of those miracles, as we look at it, this was such a big, it's not necessarily the first miracle, because they talk about them healing in the Gospels and things like that, but this one came on in front of everybody. It was like, it was top of the top. It was an amazing thing to look at. So when I looked at this root word, okay, so that's the second word on your handout, that holokeilaros, okay, it is, again, complete in every part, perfectly sound, and no part wanting. And that's what we talked about, from the muscles to the brain to everything. He was completely, miraculously healed. It's of a body without blemish or defect. Again, he's going to look totally different now. He's going to look physically totally different. But again, it also talks about free from sin, complete in all respects. So that this root word that it's taken from adds another layer of understanding of how completely this lame man was healed. Not just a physical healing, but it was mentally, emotionally, and it was spiritually. It was complete. A perfect soundness. Now, we don't know what happens with this man after this experience. We don't know. But I have a question for you, and it was a question that I had as I studied this. Do you think he received the Holy Ghost at the time this miracle was performed on him? That was a question for me. And I don't even really know if we can come up with the right answer, because we don't have a biblical answer. But what do you think? Don?
Well, maybe it's just a clue, but it's what he did right after he was healed. He didn't just run off, oh, I got to go tell my family, my neighbors, my friends, all that. He went into the temple with them and praised God. That was the first thing he did.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do when we receive the Holy Ghost. So,
I want to go back to verse 8 for a second. In Acts, the third chapter, go back up to verse 8. And this is what kind of makes me wonder. Okay. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. I wish it said, did you have your hand up, Claudette? Okay, go ahead, Terry.
Well, I don't know that we can say he received the Holy Ghost there, but I would assume he's one of the 5,000 that received the Holy Ghost that day.
Mm-hmm.
But even when anybody feels that power of God come on them, they're going to be moving.
And this was such a complete healing. It's going to stop at Claudette and go back to Sherry Mettler. And again, the scripture does not answer this for us. We don't have an answer.
One clue that I have is that in other instances, you know, Peter laid hands on people, mm-hmm, and they received the Holy Ghost, mm-hmm, and he did touch,
mm-hmm,
him,
mm-hmm,
when he,
mm-hmm,
was healed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And back there to Sherry Mettler. I wish it would have said, walking, leaping, praising God, and speaking in tongues. Then I would have said, yeah!
What stood out to me was the perfect. Okay, if you've got perfectness in God, I have to wonder, how would that perfection come without the Holy Ghost?
Amen. Amen. Kirsten?
The thing that I thought about was that, you know, Peter's already told how this comes, and so for this man, he needed repentance at this point,
mm-hmm,
in order to receive the Holy Ghost. And yeah, that's what we don't really hear, mm-hmm, except, mm-hmm, that when we really think about what it means to repent, which is to turn around. I had the experience of realizing what it was that my mind had done, mm-hmm, that God accepted as repentance,
mm-hmm,
a few months before I started coming to church and I got the Holy Ghost here, several years later, I was like, oh, God understood that as my repentance. And I thought about him, you know, having sat there day after day after day all of his life, and this day he turned a different direction.
Amen.
And that God would accept that as his repentance. Mm-hmm. Even though I originally started out thinking that he hadn't, mm-hmm. I just wonder, because that action isn't repentance isn't always just down on your knees. Mm-hmm. It's a recognition that you need a different direction. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Peter and John offered him a different direction, and he went.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I have to go back to I have to say, too, for me with repentance, as I was a young woman coming here and I first felt that Spirit and desperately wanted to receive the Holy Spirit, I got baptized in Jesus' name and came to the altar and sought for the Spirit and then did receive the Spirit. And it was probably after that I thought, I don't think I ever told him I was sorry. But my very actions of reaching to him to be filled with his Spirit said, I'm going this way. I'm done with that way. So repentance can happen instantaneously.
Amen. Hap? I was thinking of the same thing as far as him leaping. His life was forever changed at that moment.
Amen.
But it reminded me of Saul when before he was called Paul. Mm-hmm. The complete change, it doesn't say that he was baptized, doesn't say that he received the Holy Ghost, but there was a complete change.
That's right.
So something evidently so supernatural took place, I believe he got the Holy Ghost. Well, I know he got the Holy Ghost.
And remember, this is Luke who's writing this, and he's picking his words carefully. And so these words are not just thrown about, found all over in the Scriptures. They're very unique in the Scriptures. Paul?
Yeah, my thoughts is if it didn't happen right then, it definitely happened right around, right then. And when I was looking at this, you know, you were talking about the sin. When I was chaining out, they put John Wesley in there, you know, the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, go ye and be perfect. Mm-hmm. And then they were trying to get around that, saying, well, nobody can be perfect.
Right.
And but we know that with the Holy Ghost that we can work at perfection, and we can live one day at a time perfectly.
Right.
And so it was pretty interesting to just chain that all out and see, wow, there's a lot more to this. And, and mankind is always looking for a way around what God really requires of his people.
Mm-hmm. And this perfect soundness is just perfect. Anyone else before we go on to another scripture? Other scriptures that we find this word used is in James, the first chapter. And I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. James 1, verses 3 and 4. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Okay, so we know that this trying of our faith works patience. We talked a lot about that last Wednesday. But when we read, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect. This perfect here means full grown and mature. That's what this perfect means. Full grown and mature. And entire. An entire here is the root word we looked at. A body free from sin, complete in every part, and sound. Now keep this scripture in mind when we face the adversities in our lives. It's doing a work in us. It's teaching us how to live in perfect soundness. It's teaching us how to live in perfect soundness. Again, when it says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, this perfect means full grown and mature. And entire, this entire here is this root word that we've looked at, a body free from sin and complete in every part. So think about that. Keep it in mind, again, as I said, these scriptures teach us how to live in perfect soundness. The same word is used in 1 Thessalonians. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians 5, and we're going to read verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the very peace of God sanctify you wholly. This wholly means complete to the end, absolutely perfect, which we will be when we get to the end. This holy here means complete to the end, absolutely perfect. Here we will always be striving for that perfect soundness. We're always going to be striving. When it says, and I pray God your whole, this is that root word we're talking about, meaning complete in every part, perfectly sound, in no part wanting, free from sin. Spirit here refers to our mental disposition, our mind. Soul, it's our immortal soul. And body, it's our natural physical body. Be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It takes all three, mind, soul, and body, being whole, complete in all respects, striving for that perfect soundness. It only comes through the power of the Holy Ghost. In order for us to live in perfect soundness, like these scriptures teach, all parts of our life, mind, body, and spirit, must be under the control of Jesus Christ. Our whole being, mind, body, and soul, every bit under that control of the Spirit. There's another word in the Bible that is very similar to these two that's on your handout called artios. And I think it's important to look at this one too, because it talks about being like a limb or jointly fit together. But it also talks about being fully adapted to its purpose. So let's read in 2 Timothy, the third chapter. And I'm reading just verse 17. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verse 17. Excuse me, I am going to start in 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Let me go back here. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works, that the man of God may be perfect. That perfect here is complete, fitted, fully adapted to his purpose. Thoroughly furnished in all good works. Through baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, we have been thoroughly furnished with special aptitudes and abilities, gifts, callings, and talents to walk uprightly before God in striving for that perfect soundness. And it is by grace that we have that privilege to walk side by side with our Jesus, the Anointed One. That grace should be manifested in our daily lives so that others may see Jesus in us. We have been fully adapted for his purpose. We have all we need to walk in perfect soundness If we have our whole being, mind, body, and spirit, under the control of the Holy Ghost. Each one of us in this body is valuable to God and needed to work for Him until He calls us home. Each one of us is equipped with different gifts, talents, and calling, and each one of us are accountable to God for what He gives us. Again, His grace should be manifested in our life every day. Every day. People should see whether they can call it perfect soundness or identify it. People should look at you and see what the grace of God has done in our lives. Should be able to look, and we should always manifest what Jesus Christ has done for us. We really can't do this without learning to walk in that perfect soundness, which takes an awful lot of effort. Keeping this mind, body, and spirit always under control of the Holy Ghost. I thought a lot about last year's camp, and I thought about the unity we had at camp as the body. And when you look back and you think about that camp, and we talked how special that camp was for each one of us, but it took each one of us, really, whether we recognized it or not, being holy in mind, body, and spirit, and in unity with God. But it took us as an individual, when we went out to that camp, as an individual, that preparation that you do for that camp time, that as one, you get to where you are walking with your Jesus. You're in one mind and one accord with your Jesus, letting Him guide you. And then if each one of us are in that space as a collective body, we have unity. Because then the body is wholly joined together, perfectly fitted and adapted for His purpose. And we know that when we come out of camp, it's not just, oh, that was a wonderful mountaintop and that's great, and we go back to normal. We take a step up. And God says, let's work. Let's figure this out. Let's reach out. Let's do this. We are fitted for His purpose. We're combined together. We're that one body where it's all joined together. We're fitted and fully adapted for His purpose. It's such a remarkable thing for the ability of God's Spirit to do that, to unite people in one mind and one accord. It's an amazing thing, but it's a necessary thing if we're to be that body of believers that shows forth that power of God, especially in these end days, especially in these end days. It is so, so important. And the only thing that is really strong enough to keep us in that unity is God's love. It's that simple, and it's that hard. We cannot be wholly affected, fully adapted to His for His purpose without that love. It will not happen. And we cannot love each other the way God wants us to love each other without His Spirit inside of us. It just won't happen. We can try, and we often do, but we need that Spirit of God inside of us. So I want to finish tonight in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Before I go into this one, any thoughts or comments before I go into 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter? Any thoughts or comments? So 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 first. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Sounds good. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, And though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. The Apostle Paul is so very clear that whatever we do must be done out of love, God's love. Otherwise, it's not worth your time. Don't even waste it. He does go on in great detail to describe the type of love that he is teaching us. And we know that that love that comes from God, this is the same love we have to have with each other and for each other in order to walk in perfect soundness. It's got to come in that love. So just go through verse, starting in verse 4. Love suffers long. It's always forgiving. It's patient. Love suffers long. It's always forgiving. It's always patient. And it's kind. The simpleness of kindness is an amazing thing. It's kind. Love envieth not. We learn to be content where we are at in God and where we are at with each other. We're content. Love vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. And I've said it before, it really isn't all about us. It's all about Jesus. It does not behave itself unseemly, does not seek her own, is not easily provoked. Run a scorecard in your mind. From Sunday to tonight, have you behaved unseemly? Have you sought your own? Have you been easily provoked? Have you vaunted yourself up, put yourself before somebody else? Run a scorecard just from Sunday to Wednesday, because Sunday was such a wonderful service. And like Michelle's testimony was, he's going to be nipping at your heels the minute you walk out those doors, sometimes before you get out those doors. Keep a scorecard. It thinketh no evil. That really takes the love of God. That really takes the love of God, because the love of God allows us to see one another through his eyes. And again, when you look at these scriptures in verse 5, it doesn't behave itself unseemly. It seeks not its own. It's not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. If you can live like that, then his grace is manifested in you in every part of your life. Think about that. Think about that precious, amazing grace that he so freely gives each one of us. We must manifest that to not only each other, but to all of mankind, every day, all day. In verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. And that's how we walk. We walk in truth. And we walk with integrity. Verse 7, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, until he calls us home. Until he calls us home. We cannot walk in this perfect soundness without that foundation of love, and that love that puts others before ourselves, that love that puts God first in our lives, that love that shows forth that we manifest the grace that has been given to us, that others can see it, that perfect soundness. That's an amazing thing. And it's definitely something that isn't going to come easily, but it's something that comes consistently in our walk. And it's something we're never going to be perfect, and God does not expect that perfection from us. But he does expect us to be striving for it. He does expect us to be striving for it, to be growing in day by day. And he does expect us to manifest the grace that has been given to us to everybody, your spouse, your children, your students you go to school with, the people you work with, that grace should be manifest. People should recognize us as one of God's by the way we live. They should recognize us. They should see us functioning in perfect soundness, perfect soundness. And just as this lame man was so totally healed, and we've talked about from the inside out, so completely and wholly healed, that is the way God deals with us. He is never stingy with us. When we need to be wholly and completely healed or set free of something, he'll get you there. If you put your hand in his and you walk through it, he'll get you there. He'll get you there. He wants us to be wholly and completely healed and learning to walk in that perfect soundness side by side. When I read about this perfect soundness, I thought, what a wonderful thing. What a thing to strive for. It just feels good. It feels comfortable. It feels safe. It feels wonderful. But there's a huge responsibility with that if we want to walk perfectly sound before our Jesus. And we really should. For the amount of years many of us have had that Holy Spirit inside, we really should. We really should. That grace should be manifest in our life on a daily basis. Those are all my scriptures I had tonight. Any thoughts or comments tonight before we close? Any thoughts or comments on this perfect soundness, this love, anything we've talked about? Anybody? Okay. Thank you so much for your participation. Next week, you'll want to be looking at verses 19 through 21 in Acts, the third chapter. So that just gives you a direction to study. Again, thank you always for your participation.